Congratulations, you've made it. I made it to 50, and I would get a congratulations, a cards, various cards. I still haven't thrown away, actually, because I'm keeping them, because that's quite nice. And thank you for the book. I started to read it. And on these cards, it often says, congratulations, you've reached 18, 21, 30, 40, 50. But what did I do to attain that? Why am I being congratulated for such an event? I've just existed. I've done nothing to arrive at this point other than eat meals and sleep and done something stupid or anything, you know? So there's not really anything to be congratulated for, particularly. I just am. And so when a baby turns up, and well done because you've all managed that, why well done, but you just have, it was nothing to do with you, obviously. It was all about this event that happened between your parents, and we all know about that. Well, we probably don't, well, maybe we do or not, I don't know. Your imagination must stop there. But there's an inevitability about birth that we just ended up here. Now, birth goes wrong sometimes, and that's very sad, and we do know of people who have that, and that may have happened to us. But when Jesus turns up, there is an inevitability about what was going to happen. And I just want us to think about that inevitability of God wanting something to happen today. So we're going to have a look at a reading which is from the Old Testament, and not something that we would normally look at Christmas. And it's not specifically about Christmas, but it pertains to things about what we've just been saying. This is the plan. I always do this and I never get any further than that. Thank you, Paul.
This is the plan determined for the whole world. This is the hand stretched out over all nations. For the Lord Almighty has proposed and purposed, and who can thwart him? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back?
So this is actually from a passage, a wider passage in Isaiah, where we get several groups of people who have not followed God. Including the Israelites. So the Israelites are the ones who are supposed to follow God, and all the others are not expected to follow God. And the Israelites have done wayward things, and they've forgotten God's ways, and they've ended up in some sticky places, and God allows them to suffer. And then all of the other lot come in, and the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Egyptians, generally the nations around who are wanting harm to come to these Israelites, come and do their stuff as well. And then things happen to those nations as well, and they rise and fall and all the rest of it, which is what's happening today in the world. And these kingdoms, they come and they go. But in thrusting through the middle of all of this is God's purposes. And what he wants to happen, happens. And what all the people in their various places want to happen, may happen, or it may not happen. It may happen for a bit, and then it doesn't happen anymore. But God's purposes just cut through everything. So wherever we are, in whatever state we are with God or with the community or the world around us, actually none of that matters in any sense at all, because there's God's purposes that just ride through roughshod over every last little bit of it. And if we can connect to that line of what God is doing, then we're getting somewhere to be with him. But it's not about our purposes or what we want to happen, it's about that line that God is taking through the whole of history. Can we join in with that line? Is it possible? Purposes. So Jesus, let's go forward a few years to his 30s, and Jesus is there with his disciples, and he's sat down there talking to them, and they're saying, so are you going to save Israel? And it's a bit like a kind of a Brexit chat. Are we going to leave or stay? You know, are you going to help us do this thing? Are we going to get rid of the Romans? Is that going to happen for us? Is that why you're here? And they want to know, and all the other people want to know, because this is the big buzz of feeling around in the community at the time, is what do we do about the Romans? Because they've taken over. And if we look back further, we can see that it's either the Assyrians had taken over, or the Egyptians, or whoever else had taken over. And now we're talking about the Romans. And Jesus is here, he's the Son of God. We know that. Excellent, so it's going to all get sorted out. We'll have a proper separation, and we'll send all the Romans off. That's what's going through their mind. And Jesus, just not interested. He really couldn't care about who was in charge or not, or any of that at all. He's interested in his purposes running through the whole thing. And they think they know what those are. And we do too. We know, because we're good Christians, what God is up to. We know how it's all sorted out. We've read our Bibles. We know very well what God is up to. And as soon as we start to say that, we fall down. There's another good story, Joshua. And I love this bit. So Joshua's all been wound up. This is what I want you to do. And you're to take all of the people across to the other side of the river, Jordan. And he manages that. Fantastic. We're in God's plan here. Gracious me, are we? We've done it. And we can prove that we are, because look, all the people are dry. There was no baptism on the way across. Nobody got washed down the river. God stopped the water and we were able to walk across. So Joshua's in quite a good place, really. He's thinking, this is working. Excellent. And then there's this rather large guy who just is standing there in the middle of the road. I wonder who you are. So he goes up to him and he says, so are you for us or for our enemies? And there's a kind of a smirk on the face of this guy. That's the wrong question, kid. Neither. How do I take that? But I've been working for the Lord. And this is what we've got to. He's got us to this point. I've been working for him and he's on my side. Somebody else said that as well. What was it? Gott mit uns. God is on our side. And so Joshua had to learn that the purposes of God run roughshod right across everybody and everything, including him. Because he then had to bow down and realise that God's purposes are what's going to happen. Never mind his role was simply to follow and do what he was told. He did not own anything. Nothing belonged to him. It was all God's. See, Joshua had a problem here. He'd got in his mind what he was supposed to do. That's fine. But now he was thinking he was in the right place and in the right position. And he was trying to discern what was right or wrong. Who was right or wrong? Are you for us or for our enemies? There's some people over there who are our enemies. So you're either for them or for us. It's not as simple as that, because God's purposes, if they do run roughshod over everything, they actually upset everybody on both sides of any argument, because it's not about that, it's about him and us all finding somewhere together to find him. And that means a lot of climbing down off our trees. You see, we have this ability and or our want to work out the binary questions of life. We are either in the union or we are the employer. We are either right or we're wrong. We either remain or leave, or we're left or right. We have these choices in society that we find for ourselves, and we think that, no, I'm a union person. I'm in a union. I've been an employer as well, so I know both sides of what that feels like. And sometimes I'm feeling more like one or the other. And when I was trying to get a train the other day, I was thinking, no, I'm definitely in the employer position because this RMT should be running a train for me. And then I actually looked at their website and I started to think, well, actually, I can understand some of what they're saying and their history behind them. So, I was, you know, so which side do we fall on all these different discussions? And it's the wrong place to be. We're not about trying to work out right or wrong, are we? Don't know. Gott mit uns. Who said that? Who had that on them? Hitler, yes, and all of his soldiers. It was on their badge here, on their belt, and it was a very strong message because they knew that they were in the right. Maybe they were, or not. We don't know. We've got an opinion about that, and we think we know the answer to it. I'm not saying either way. We want to take sides. We want it all sorted out and lined up neatly. And we want to know where everybody belongs and what our place is. But God's purposes run roughshod over the whole thing. There's a dispute that Jesus is standing, talking, and this chap comes up to him and says, "Are you going to help me sort out the dispute between my brother and me?" And Jesus doesn't give any judgment. He says, "That's not for me to worry about. You go and work it out. You sort it out with your brother." And leaves him to it. So that's all a bit peculiar then. So what's this got to do with Jesus coming at Christmas? Because God's purposes have got to this point where this baby is now born. And some terrible things then happen. We have these wise men from the east, and they may be various numbers, and they may be women as well. And they arrive, and they go off and see Herod, as David was saying last week. And then they turn back up again, and they say, "Well, we found you." And then they have a dream, and then they go off a different route. But Herod is left pondering and wondering what to do next. So he decides the right thing to do for him is to secure his kingdom, and he goes off and kills the children. Because that's the right thing in his mind to do. It's prophesied many years before that that's what would happen, and it does. Awful thing. Joseph and Mary take Jesus away before that occurs. And Rachel is left weeping. A terrible thing. You see, if Jesus hadn't arrived, none of that would have happened. Those children would have carried on living. They'd have had children themselves. What was the point of all of that? God's purposes seem very peculiar sometimes. How could he allow that to happen? And then nothing changes in that sense. It always just becomes really difficult all the way through Jesus' life, because actually that thrust that God is doing, that purposes of him, his, are to upset that human way of thinking of right or wrong, who should be, what should we do, who should control this or that. All of those questions he wants to push aside, because that's not the way he wants us to think. He wants us to think in a completely different way. And Jesus demonstrates this many years later, when he's 33, through his sacrifice. His whole life was a sacrifice, in fact. And it was an offering to the Father. So when does he ever get on a high horse about anything? Doesn't really. He's simply wanting to see God's purposes run through all of our lives. And when we can link up and join in with what God might be doing, it's not that we've achieved anything. It's simply that we're in where God wants us to be. And like Joshua, he's in the right place. It's fine. But you're not in control, fella. God is. The reading we've had for this year is, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. And that's so, it's actually really, really encouraging, because God has a plan. And it's his plan. It's a plan for us as a church, as a person, as a people, as a community. It is his plan. And it's his. So who owns the plan? God. It's not your plan. It's not my plan. It's not the plan we cook up in the church meeting or work out what it might be. It's God's plan for our lives, whatever that happens to be, wherever, as long as we're following and listening to the Holy Spirit and in humble obedience to God, then that plan we can join in with, which is what Joshua was trying to do. But it wasn't his plan, and it's not our plan, it's God's plan. So I'm called to believe and to obey. I'm called to submission. I'm called to a relationship with him, and then my neighbour. These are all really simple things, actually. They're all things we know very well. What's the purpose? Jesus narrows the whole lot down to love God and love your neighbour as yourself. Yourself. Love yourself is a lesson I've learnt recently, to love myself as well. Simple. Really, really straightforward. So it's God's plan. And his plan runs roughshod over all of the other stuff. Next week, Danny's going to, and I'll give you the tiniest whisper of what we're going to be looking at. It's from Esther. And the key word for me, two words, who knows? And just think about that for a week. Come back next week and find out a little bit more about what that then leads to. Who knows? And in our desire to try and work out the answer to that question about who knows, we get distracted to try and work out what we're actually going to do. And that needs to be answered to some extent. But really, it's about who. When I was at school, when I was teaching, the question was always about how can you prove that the Old Testament is right, and what about science and religion? We often had this fairly tedious discussion between science and religion. I was a religious studies teacher, for those who don't know. And I always wanted to say to them, and I did say to them, is that Genesis isn't so much about how, which is what God's given the scientists to actually work out. That's not what the story is there for. It's about who. Who made? Who did? Whose idea was it? Who designed? Who created? Look at Job and see who did these things. Who? And when we work out who, God, when we begin to understand that relationship, we start to work out that his purposes are way over all of the other stuff. We get pulled down into the stuff. We're bothered by the stuff. I've been very bothered by lots of stuff recently, and it hurts me and it annoys me and it irritates me, and we have all of that going on. But the safest and the most secure and the most special place to be is to try and look for God's purposes above that. And his most important purpose is for us to love and know him and be with him. Now that's the whole point of Christmas. Incarnation. Incarnate. Jesus comes. God comes to be with us. Isn't that special? So special. And that's for the world to know that. And that's part of what we've got to do as well. But it is his plan. And this inevitability of what he is doing, starting at this point where we've been thinking about Christmas, is on a continuum. And whatever he wants to be done will be done. Now, if we choose not to join in with that, what does that do to God's purposes? Absolutely nothing. It's made minorly frustrating for him, and it might affect our community in some way or other. But the longer run of things, he finds somebody else. I just reading at the moment the story of Samuel, and the people all decide, we want a king. Please, can we have a king? So they get a king. Saul comes along, and he's a whole head and shoulder above everybody else. That's quite tall. Mind you, I don't know how tall the people were. But he definitely stands out in the crowd. And he does all the kingly stuff. But he oversteps the mark once or twice, and he takes control of things that are not for him to do, including at one point sacrificing because Samuel wasn't there on time. And he thought, I've got to do this. This has to be done. And he goes completely against the plan of God. And God thinks, I've made a mistake here. Does actually say that. He regrets having called Saul as king. And he says to him, there will be somebody else, and your kingdom, your line will stop. Because my purposes are still tracking along, and this is what I want to happen. And it's not about you, it's about him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Saul wanted to do something. He wasn't happy with waiting. Joshua wanted to perform and be somebody and take control. The disciples wanted to know the answers to their society at the time. And Lord, you stand way, way above all of these things. You're not uninterested, but you have your own purposes. And the purpose of you sending your son Jesus to the world to be with us is something that we still haven't really completely fathomed yet. And we never will until we meet you with you one day. But Lord, there is a call on our lives from you to follow you, to be close to you, and to love you, and to love those around us. To be humble in the way we act. To be loving in the way we are with those around us. To bless you and to worship you. To live simple lives. Thank you, God, that you are here. Have your way among us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this is something to celebrate, and it's actually very releasing because we don't have to work it out. The only bit we need to worry about is, can we connect with God? Which we can, but it's about that openness to Him. And if we can find that in ourselves, to open that door in our hearts to Him, then we have something to celebrate and be glad at. Because it's God working in us, just releasing open-handed towards God allows God to come in.